I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
It just makes me want to have a little boogie.
I know.
I feel much better prepared for the energy of this bed this week.
Yeah,
took me a little bit by surprise last week, and
for real,
sent me into overdrive. Now we're just sitting in second gear today. I think that's the right way to approach it. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, movies and that, flicks and that, even
flicks and that, if you will.
It's all film fest ahoy, really, and I'm sure the listeners have heard plenty about NZIFF already, but you know what? I want to tell you about some more movies.
Please do.
So I thought I would mention a couple highlights today. Annoyingly, a couple things that don't have any more screenings in the program, but will undoubtedly be viewable in the future, and a couple things that... I have seen that there are still screenings coming up, so let's start with the ones that you've missed out on.
Perfect, thank you.
And the first of those is Lurker, which I saw last night. I really dug this. This was a really good, grimy psychological thriller about a dude who inserts himself into the orbit of a pop star.
Ooh.
And so it's kind of about this guy doing everything he needs to do to gain this position and maintain it. Sort of a bit of a kind of Court of the King type setup, right? Like it's a bit like inveigling yourself into the favor of a royal. And then at the same time, there's all these other people who sort of you start to realize are all kind of doing their versions of the same thing as well. And the pop star makes bad music, and so that's also entertaining.
Nice.
This was a film that I thought could not to go straight to the ending, but this is a film that I thought could kind of end at any time in the last 20 minutes, but just kind of kept going into more and more interesting places.
Sometimes you're like, I hope this is going to end, and it just doesn't.
And this very much wasn't that. This could have been a character study that sort of followed someone being chewed up and spat out, but it finds really interesting places to go. So that's nice. Lurker. That's definitely worth keeping an eye out. The other film that undoubtedly you'll have the opportunity to see soon, but I can't help myself but join the chorus of people talking about it, is The Weed Eaters.
Gorgeous.
This was a fantastic world premiere at the Civic on Saturday night, and I loved the hell out of this film. It's the kind of authentically unassuming horror that captures something about the deadpan New Zealand psyche, but also sort of understanding B-movies and understanding stoner culture in a way that it's really easy to get this stuff wrong, especially if you're working with limited resources. But Callum, Annabelle and crew have done a fantastic job here. It's got excellent performances, rad gore, and it's edited to move at a clip. Really, really enjoyed this.
Amazing. How much gore are we talking, though?
We're talking R13 gore.
Okay. That's not too bad.
But if
I'm 21.
but if you ever wondered what some human brains on a cracker would look like, that fits within the...
You'll find out.
That fits within the classification threshold.
Okay.
Anyway, you missed out on those. You'll see them in the future sometime. A couple of things coming up that have screenings. This Sunday, Pavements is playing at Hollywood Avondale.
So good.
I dug this film so much.
So great.
We did too.
It sent me on a big nostalgia spiral. The 90s was weird. Things were different. And maybe I'm kind of starting to make excuses already for how much of an asshole Stephen Malkmus of Pavement comes across in this film.
Yeah.
Not a likable character, really.
No.
And I think that with a bit of distance from that sort of Gen X ironic detachment, hipster sarcasm period, it just kind of reads like worse now than it did back then.
Mm.
But nevertheless, I love this band to bits.
Yeah.
And it just wouldn't have worked to be a straight documentary about Pavement, I feel, recounting a series of facts in order and having interview footage where they're kind of being difficult and hard to pin down would not make for a very satisfying film. So no. Alex Ross Perry, came up with some really great great things in here. I think kind of describing it too much maybe spoils it a little, but
yeah.
A lot of playfulness with the form, a lot of without being frustratingly, annoyingly meta, a lot of audience consideration about what it is you're actually watching.
Yeah.
I thought of Nathan Fielder a little bit during Pavement. Right.
I had that thrown around as well.
So yeah, just sort of that, you're sort of never quite sure of the intention or the realism of what you're watching.
Yeah, like what's going, because they played me. I thought that some things were real when they actually weren't. And, you know?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Man, what's real, man? What is real? We're not going to answer that today. We do not have enough time. So that's playing on Sunday at the Hollywood Avondale. And also coming up at the Hollywood Avondale on August the 11th is another screening of the opening night film, It Was Just an Accident.
Mm.
Some weird similarities to me with The Weed Eaters in that It Was Just an Accident was filmed under pretty strict conditions in Iran, so it was filmed guerrilla style, so it's in some ways there's some stylistic similarities that not always being able to cut back and forth within a conversation, sometimes just having a camera, one camera covering a scene or part of a scene, really helps the audience to feel like they're in the middle of this movie. And they both depict small groups of people struggling with the circumstances that they're in the narrative, so it sort of helps with the tension, I thought, to kind of sit in that. Also, It Was Just an Accident, maybe less of an overt comedy than The Weed Eaters, but really interesting mix of kind of these interpersonal jokes or sort of black comedy caper parts where you can't help but sort of laugh at the predicament the characters are getting themselves into, but set against this backdrop of massive trauma and a torturous Iranian regime. Interesting mix, all pays off. Really, really satisfied with that too. So, yeah, a few really good standouts so far. A couple of them you can catch again. And just to nod to a couple things coming up in the next few days, which I haven't seen, but I'm going to take on good authority that tonight there's a fantastic, you could make it a double feature at the Civic. There's Kelly Reichardt's The Mastermind playing, I think that's around 6:30-ish, starring Josh O'Connor. This is a... I think typically for Kelly Reichardt sounds like a typically sort of, I'm not going to say slow moving, but I just said it, patiently paced indie drama. Josh O'Connor plays a family man who's also trying to be an art thief. I'm quite kind of interested in this. I can't make it to that, but I am going to be at the Civic tonight for Surat, I think is the pronunciation. I don't know anything about this movie, and this is one of the things I really love about the Film Fest.
Yeah.
Matthew Crawley reviewed it for Flicks and described it as the first holy shit moment of his festival, and then basically just said go and cold. So
that's all you need to know. That's exciting.
I'm and we always that. Listen to Matthew Crawley.
Whoa.
Hey, so I'm also on... also on Saturday, I'm really looking forward to... Really looking forward to John Woo's Hard Boiled. This is an action classic that's playing at Hollywood Avondale. Again, it's a type of film that's the perfect room to see it in. So, yeah, some good viewing coming up. And if you're listening, Matthew, love you.
Wow, and that's one way to send it off.
Well, yeah. Thanks so much, Steve.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.